Here's Edwards with a lay. Donovan Edwards down the sideline. Gets past Ransom. Donovan Edwards. Touchdown, Michigan.
Touchdown, Michigan. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. Maize and Blue Reviews. Good afternoon, Michigan football. I'm Dennis Fintigan. Coming up, we're going to talk with former Wolverine Jim Scarcelli. That's moments away. Scar is going to break down all the plays from Saturday as Michigan beats Ohio State. And I want to congratulate everyone out there. First of all, congratulate Jim Harbaugh. Congratulate the Michigan football team, Michigan football program for going 12-0 and beating Ohio State. Resounding fashion on Saturday down in Columbus. Secondly, I want to thank and congratulate Michigan fans. There's a lot of them to thank. Like I see Antoine, he's somebody that I need to congratulate. He was somebody that all year long was saying that, Michigan was – better than Ohio State, that they could take it to Ohio State. Great job there, coach. And, the way that they did it, at the horseshoe was amazing, the way the Wolverines did it. It's going to be a great week. Get ready for the Big Ten championship game in Indianapolis again. Michigan knows their way there now. They were there last year. So that's going to be a great week, and it's going to be a great December. You just think about it, was a great Saturday. It's going to be a great week. Big Ten championship game. And then the college football playoffs on the horizon. That's going to be great. So it's going to be a great New Year's Eve. And, this time around, thinking about New Year's Eve and maybe TCU could happen. We're a good chance it could be TCU right now that, it's going to be a great New Year's Eve and the chance that it could go into January and be a great January. And then if it's a great January, then it's going to be a great 2023. So, that's the word today is great. And, Michigan played great. I am wishing for a TSC or TCU or USC. And then, Georgia, or if Ohio State slides in there, Ohio State, maybe see them do the dirty work, see them again. But I'd rather not see them again. I'd like to see it go TCU, Georgia, TCU, USC, national championship. So all of that. I do want to say thanks to and good luck to Cade McNamara, as we have been able to confirm the Maize and Blue Review. I saw Trevor McHugh and Josh Henschke confirmed that Cade McNamara is headed to the transfer portal. So good luck to Cade McNamara, 2021, the quarterback for the Wolverines. Congratulations. Good luck. Hopefully it's outside the Big Ten. Hopefully, Michigan never has to play Cade McNamara. I don't want to see that. But, so wherever he lands, good luck to him, unless he plays Michigan, right? So there you go. Now, we'll talk with Scarcelli here. We're getting him. Yep. All right. We've got him. I want to tell everyone that, last week was the best week. I'm changing my mind a little bit because this week is a great week to get the Maize and Blue Review. Go to michigan.rivals.com. A great gift. Heading up to the Big Ten title game, everything that you wanted to possibly know about recruiting and the latest on Michigan, it's all there. So go to michigan.rivals.com. And, right now, we've got an annual subscription sale going, $22 for the first year. Use promo code RIVALS22. That's RIVALS22. Go to michigan.rivals.com. Let's get a hold of Jim Scarcelli. And here he is. Scar, how are you on this Monday?
Couldn't be happier, Denny. Just beat the Buckeyes 12-0. Going back to Indy, trying to put another ring on our fingers. Coach Harbaugh has us right where we need to be, and we're going to get it done.
Wow. Can you repeat all that? That just sounded really good. Just go over it one more time. Let me hear that again. Hey, Scar, how you doing?
Life is good, Danny. It doesn't get any better than that, man. You know, I don't know what it was. You know, I went to the mall yesterday. I don't know if it was coincidence, but I saw a whole lot of Michigan shirts on, sweaters, and a lot more Michigan hats. I don't know. Maybe it was coincidence. That's what we want to get back to, man. Where, you know, we walk around this state, we go to the mall, people are wearing the Michigan gear. The rest of the Big Ten hates us, and we're smiling. And that's what we want to get back to. That's the Michigan I remember.
I spent too much time on social media because I went in there Saturday night, and then I was there again Sunday, and I'm like, this is way different than I'm used to seeing. Everybody like happy, you know, bouquets, and everybody just like, here you go. Some of the rivals, you know, trying to perk up. People like just saying, well, here's the scoreboard. You must have missed that game. So, you know, you're not really supposed to be, I'm just talking about for myself, you know, shouldn't be that attached to what people, what's going on cyberly, but you know, there I was, and it was an enjoyable experience where, you know, it's not always like that. Speaking of enjoyable experience, so we're going to put up what we're going to talk about today, and you've got that Big Ten championship game coming up on Saturday. We'll get Scar's thoughts on that. The conference, two big hires, big names, big hires. We'll get Scarcelli's thoughts on Nebraska and Wisconsin bringing in new coaches. Scar's got a parable that he is going to lay out for you. He's got his picks of the week. I say picks. It says pick, but, you know, he gives you one pick. But last week, he gave you another pick, and that one hit. And then he has his critically acclaimed film analysis, which is both entertaining and informative. So that's a lot to get to. So let's jump right into it. And we talked Saturday on the post game. It's a little bit different. Like right after the game, you know, you still got a lot of adrenaline flowing. Really, the players do, former players. I was running around, and now, you know, it's Monday afternoon. Scar, what's top of mind for you about Michigan beating Ohio State on Saturday down in Columbus?
Yeah, a lot of interesting thoughts going, you know, thinking about this game and the implications and the impact. And, you know, I'm thinking about a lot of things. I'm thinking about all that big money, all that big payroll down there in Columbus, you know, that $13 million to maintain and all them sponsors now and a lot of bickering going on. You know, what are we getting for our money? And why is he getting this? And you know, all them sports cars. And that's one thing that, you know, I'm thinking about a little bit. But, you know, I tell you, I think there's a lot to be said, Danny, about, you know, when Urban Meyer was there, he called it the power spread is what they ran. Urban always had the ability for his quarterback to run the ball like we do with JJ, you know, like he always did with Tebow. He always wanted a guy that could run. And I think that is a big factor in our last two wins against this team, that they don't, you know, this kid, they don't want to run him. They don't have that part of their offense, and it makes it easier to defend. But not only does it make it easier to defend them, I think it creates a softer defense because you're not seeing it in practice every day. So I want them to stay exactly what they're doing. I don't want to tell them. I'm just telling you what I think is makes it easier for us to defend them, and why I think it makes their defense a little softer. But you know, look, they defended us pretty darn good up until we hit that. You know, they took our run game away pretty darn good, other than the big long runs. You know, Danny, I took a real good look at the film, and you know, a lot of times we didn't block the right guy. But once we got things going with the, you know, we got it going with the JJ pass to Kojo. But, you know, we're going to look at this film and we're going to break it down. But that's just one big thing I'm thinking that is, you know, hurting their program and helping us, that they don't have the physicality that they once had.
Yeah. Yesterday morning, I know that college football stats, they count when the quarterback gets sacked in the rushing yards. But you get to a point where before McCarthy's backing out on that third nine and throws it over and hits Kojo, and he ends up breaking a tackle and taking it the distance. J.J. McCarthy is 3 for 9 for 48 yards, and U of M has tried 8 rushes for a total of 0 yards. I mean, you were sitting there and watching that game, and you're thinking things are going to have to get a lot different. And they were. Right after that, you get the lightning strike. You get another one in the first half. You get another one coming out in the second half. You get all kinds of different things going on. And then the back-to-back gigantic plays there by Donovan Edwards. A lot of huge plays. I'm sure you're going to talk about all of those. But I was just thinking about sitting there and just the situation right before the third nine. They almost had the exact same situation the series before. They weren't able to make the play. And there just wasn't a lot to hang your hat on. Like, I'm sure you have been through all of the wars, so you understand, like, hang in there, you know, don't think these negative thoughts or whatever you're thinking. But it was up to that point, it was all Ohio State. And then it turned amazingly.
Yeah. You know, Danny, I said last Monday, I said JJ's legs would be the difference in the game. And I said JJ's legs are why I believe our offense is a little bit better than last year. And his legs were huge. I mean, he was our best running game at many times in that first half, you know, stepping up in the pocket and just doing things. And,
Scar, I feel like we're dealing with the great Kresgen. You know, all these things that you say about Michigan all year long, they happen. You're making picks about other teams, and you barely miss. I mean, all season long, if people were actually taking your selections, they'd be sitting around. They would know Michigan would be 12-0. They would have known they would have beaten Ohio State, and they'd be sitting there. And you picked, like, 15 games. I think you're 13-2. I mean, it's really an amazing run that you're on. But you are the great Kresgen, because you were sitting over there saying, JJ with his legs, Michigan's going to go down there and get it done. And no truer words were ever spoken. So,
Danny, let's not forget this. Remember what old Scar said in August. Purdue will win the West. I said Purdue, because of Jeff Brohm, because of their schedule, they will win the West. I also said that Illinois would be the most improved football team in the Big Ten. I said that because I watched them in their spring. I know Bielema. You know, our pick of the week last week, I said Nebraska will cover the 10.5. You kidding me? With the quarterback back, Iowa can't score points. That's a lot of points in that game. They end up winning the game. I mean, that was an easy pick. And I had Army as a bonus pick. So, you know, I said that. But, you know, just a couple other thoughts going around before we get into Purdue, Denny. You know, I would rather defend Stroud than Williams, the kid at USC. I just want to say that. You know, I watched that kid play, and we'll talk about that at USC. But, you know, the kid with his play, a quarterback that can run changes everything, man. And what else do I have on my list before we get into that? I get back to just talking about, just because a guy worked under a good leader, you know, just because Ryan Day worked under, it doesn't mean he's going to be a great head coach, a great leader. Danny, we've all worked for guys in any line of work that were assistants. We all have in different, it isn't just football, but I've seen guys that were, you know, just because they're good assistants doesn't mean they're great leaders. And I'm just hoping, you know, I think that Ryan Day hit the jackpot with Justin Fields. I think we would have seen this earlier. And I'm hoping it continues, but I think he hit the jackpot when he got Justin Fields. Because if he didn't get him, I think we would have taken a ding out of him earlier. But
I'm surprised that he coached in the second half. I'm surprised that there were at least 2 times where they're sitting there in spots where you're like, you've got a top 10 pick at quarterback. You've got a top 10 pick at wide receiver. You're sitting out there in a 4th-and-3 or 4th-and-4, and you're punting the ball to Michigan. I know that when they decided to punt on a couple of those, you're thinking, wow, what a, you know, great, awesome, nice job. And it seemed really conservative. And also when they're running the ball to some dude that was a linebacker, I know that he played, you know, running back before he transferred in. Michigan was in on him. And, you know, they're just featuring him at midfield when you got all this talent, you got the quarterback. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I'm sure I understand Ohio State fans being like, what are we doing? What kind of play call is this? Why are you punting the ball? And then meanwhile, Harbaugh's coming out there doing things like, oh, my God, what's he's throwing the ball deep. I couldn't believe it. Like, I couldn't believe Michigan's throwing a bomb up 4 points early in the fourth quarter on first down. Never in a million years, I'd have thought, oh, they're going to be running the ball here. I mean, this is Jim Harbaugh. No, he's not. He's throwing it deep. And then I still can't believe that they took a linebacker and just put him into practice this week, and it wasn't even for him, and they're throwing some blind jump pass to a tight end. I would never encourage them to do that again. I would have been, if I was on the staff, which is, you know, it's just some kind of crazy thing where they had me in there, I'd have been like, let's not do this. This is a terrible idea. And yet they did it. It's shocked everybody.
Yeah. You know, Danny, we'll look at that formation. I mean, Michigan has been 100% run out of that formation. I think we had three tight ends. We might've had six offensive linemen in the game. Let's not forget this too. You know that Ohio State has won 29 straight Big Ten home games. And the Wolverines straighten that out, you know. But Danny, I think this game is, you know, it's over. We've celebrated, and it's a huge win. It's you know, John Harbaugh. I saw a quote. John said it was, you know, Jim's finest moment, maybe as a you know, as a coach, and it is a great win. You know, a great win will have impact. You know, for like, you know, people talk about the 69 Schembechler win. That win had impact for generations, because it enabled you to start recruiting. You know, like the Brett Bielema win over Wisconsin, that was a huge win because it gets a guy fired. You know, it totally changes the trajectory of the Wisconsin program now. So, you know, is this win going to have that kind of impact where it can, you know, affect recruiting? And really, really change, you know, two in a row, two rings in a row, you know, what's the long-term impact? And let's just hope it has that kind of impact, because there's obviously chaos going on in Columbus. So it's having that effect.
Yeah, you're right. And this was true last year, like Michigan broke through and they beat Ohio State. But what made it even a bigger win was the following week when they beat Iowa to win the Big Ten for the first time in 16 years. It validated that win even more. And I was going through it, I think like a lot of people thinking, well, just how big, like, you know, it was one of the greatest wins in Michigan history. And you go through and you go back and like, well, Michigan beat, you know, and you mentioned 69 and 71, they went undefeated and they beat Ohio State, and they lost to Stanford by 1 point. And it's a pretty big win to get to a chance. They had won a national championship that had been undefeated. They lost by 1 point. If they would have won against Stanford, you know, you'd look to 71. There's a lot of, you know, you get 76. You start going through them all. 97 is a gigantic win for Michigan because they were undefeated, and it put them into a chance with the Rose Bowl before the BCS, which started the following year. The Michigan's biggest win in the modern era is against Washington State, because that was for a national championship. The second biggest win was against Ohio State. The Iowa game last year is still a bigger win than what happened on Saturday, because it was for a Big Ten championship. But if Michigan, I don't know if everybody's following this, if I think it's pretty easy, if Michigan beats Purdue on Saturday, well, then you take this win and you elevate it up there, where you're right on the heels of last year's game. And then if they go out to the college football playoff and they win there, well, then you're putting it up a little bit farther up the ladder. This one could be right up there with 97 against Ohio State. And if they go out there and then, you know, win the two games in the college football playoff, this one will be right up next to the Washington State victory in the Rose Bowl in 98. So all of that, it's different because the landscape has changed, where you get one win, you get right into the bowl game. Now you get into where you're playing in the Big Ten championship game. But all of these, like, one of the greatest wins for sure in Michigan history. And to be able to erase, when you start, you've talked about this a lot, when you erase some of that stuff that has been going on for the longest time. They had that one, you know, down there in 22 years. And then what? They won by 22 points. I mean, there's some nice symmetry going on there. So, You can't get enough of talking about. I know you're ready to move on. I can't get enough of talking about this past Saturday. And it's a good thing because, you know, I get a chance every day to sit around talking about it. And I will. All right, Scar, what about this Saturday? You're ready to move on. You got the Purdue Boilermakers. I know you're going to say, I like Jeff Brohm. I picked him to win the Big Ten West. And here you are up on the mountaintop. And it's the way you predicted it, 12-0 versus 8-4. The Wolverines are favored by 16 points in this game in Indianapolis. 8 o'clock, they'll kick it off on Saturday night. It's going to be a great day of college football. Coming in with Michigan bringing it home at night at 8 o'clock. What a day. Can't wait. But how do you see this game at first glance?
Yeah, you know, I have a great deal of respect for the guy. He was a winner at great college player, quarterback. He was a winner at Western Kentucky. He proved himself. Now he's a winner at Purdue. And it's, it's a little easier winning at Purdue than it is at Indiana because of the division. But the guy's a winner. He's tough to defend. He's a smart coach. He's had a bunch of defensive coordinators. He just can't seem to find the right defensive coordinator since he's had that job. He's probably had 3 or 4 of them. But He's a really great offensive mind. He's got a lot of Detroit kids, a lot of Michigan kids on his roster. He recruits the heck out of Michigan. He's hard to defeat. He does a lot. He does a lot of different things. I think Jeff Brohm, when I watch the guy coach, sometimes I think he just pulls plays out of a hat because I think down and distance is irrelevant to him. You know, this he will throw on 4th and inches. You know, he will run on 3rd and 15 and he's successful many times with it. So, you know, I know coaches, hate to defend this guy, but he you have to be ready for all the trick play. He's got a quarterback who's been there 6 years, real smart kid. He was a walk-on. This McConnell kid is an accurate passer. I think he's a smart player. He's not the most mobile kid, but he will run around enough and sometimes convert some first downs with his legs. Brohm will keep him occasionally on the quarterback, keep stuff that we do at JJ just to keep the defenses honest. You know, it matters. But I think he's an accurate quarterback. Brohm will have all the trick plays. They do a great job with the bubble screen. We've been good at defending bubble. We've gotten better as the year went on. What else we got? He took Penn State to the wire, at home. That was, we remember watching that game. They wanted Illinois. They come out against Illinois and he knows that they're good. They're going to have a good run defense and he just come out slinging. He's going to come out slinging against us. I guarantee it. He's going to come out throwing. I think their offensive line, they're not going to pass protect like Ohio State's, no way close. But they're pretty athletic kids. They'll pull them. They're going to be a little more athletic, I think, in some ways than Ohio State and some of the teams we played. But we should be able to get pressure with 4. 45, the big running back, Maccabee. I think he was a walk-on. They're not highly recruited, but he's a pretty good running back. They do a lot of things with him. They got a big tight end kid named Durham. He's a lot like Schoonmaker, same type of kid. He's a blocker and he's a catcher. So he's not an imposter. He's a kid I'm impressed with him as a player. But we got to, against that offense, Denny, we got to get pressure with 4. I think that's one of the big keys if we go over our keys. But, I got to start with their offense. And go ahead, give me your thoughts about what I hit so far about the Purdue offense.
Yeah, I think the thing when Purdue's playing this year. I'm not watching them very much because they're not on Michigan's schedule, but I did watch that opening game against Penn State. And you pointed out, if it was the biggest shocker, was that they were able to beat Illinois. And yeah, I mean, this is a team that's going to put it up. They're going to, this is an air assault. And if Michigan can get some pressure, the thing you like it about the matchup from a Michigan standpoint is that they've got a pretty good secondary and they can get pressure on the quarterback. So Michigan can handle. It's one thing there's 2 things. It's what you like about Michigan. They can defend the run and the pass. It's pretty good defense from what you've seen. And I think that if it goes to kind of almost every game this year, with the exception of the Illinois game, I could see it being kind of close at half. And then whatever Michigan does when they sit in there and start looking at the cut-ups and the tape, and then they come up with a second-half game plan, I expect them to go out there and slam the door shut on the Boilermakers and come away with a victory.
Yeah, if I'm the head coach of Michigan looking at Purdue, I the offense for them is the thing. You know, they score a lot of points. So, you know, we got to get pressure with four. I want to be uncomfortable. You know, Coach Mo used to always say about the trick plays and this, you know, usually our defense will protect us and save us for some of these trick plays. It's not like you say, you know, how do you prepare for the double pass or the throwback back to the quarterback or the double reverse? You know, normally your defensive structure and your techniques will save you in all of those type of trick plays. But if you're blitzing 5-6 guys and, you know, to try to get pressure, that's a different story. So that's why I want to try to get pressure with four, because I think it'll help us against a lot of the trick stuff that they do. But let's talk about their defense real quick. I look at them athletically and what they do a lot like a Michigan State. You know, we put points on Michigan State's defense. I think they're going to have those kind of athletes. Their defensive coordinator is an old Michigan coach. Ron English was the secondary coach at Michigan. I worked with him at the camp. I know, you know, I know how he coaches, and he was defensive coordinator for a while under Lloyd Carr. So he's now the defensive coordinator there. I think they're pretty sound. You know, their guys are in the right spots. They're pretty they play pretty smart. And they do different things. They're aggressive at times, but I think we can score points against this defense. You know, I saw Indiana, who, you know, we made them one dimensional. Indiana ran the football against this Purdue team. And I think, you know, I don't know how good Indiana's just, you know, run game was. So I feel good that we're gonna make this team one dimensional. You know, and I see us scoring at least 31 points against that defense. I think, you know, we just got to mix it up, run pass like we've been, be unpredictable, take what they give us. And, you know, I feel good about it. But, yeah, that's my thoughts on Purdue. I think we're going to be able to move the ball. And I think we got to, you know, this kid is not the most mobile kid. Let's get pressure with four. And I think we can make them one dimensional.
All right, sounds good to me. Let's move over to some big news in the Big Ten, as you got something going on in Madison and in Lincoln. Two, what look like on paper, I'll say home run hires. Nebraska goes out and gets Matt Rhule for a reported 8 years and $72 million, according to the NFL Network. And then Whiskey, they go to the former Buckeye down to Cincinnati in Ohio, and they get Luke Fickell, who was in the college football playoff last year. He's going to be introduced a little bit later on today. What do you think about these big hires by two Big Ten West teams in Nebraska and Wisconsin, Scar?
Danny, there are no lamb chops coaching in the Big Ten, man. You know, that division, you know, you got PJ Fleck and his ability to recruit, and he's a proven coach at Western. Now you got Bielema, proven coach, and you got Jeff Brohm, proven coach, and now you got Fickell and Matt Rhule, and Rhule's a proven coach. He built Temple, he built Baylor, and it's a good hire for them. I think you got to be able to recruit Texas. You got to recruit Texas. That was one of the places they really made a living on when they had their good years. They could go into, you know, all over Texas and get kids. And he has a foundation there. He was a coach at Baylor. So I think Rhule is a good coach. I think it's a real good hire for them. He's a really good defensive coach. Can he recruit and get the athletic ability risen in Lincoln? And I think he's a guy that will have ties that can possibly get that done. Fickell, I'm glad he's in Madison and he's not in Columbus, because I think he's a heck of a coach. He built Cincinnati back up, real good defensive coach. You know, and the guy's done nothing but win. I know guys that coach with him love him. They say he's a real good guy to work for. And, you know, what the question I have, Denny, is, you know, when he went into that interview, you know that the godfather of Wisconsin football, Barry Alvarez, is lingering still over there, who wants to run three tight ends and, you know, and pound you with 300-pound linemen. I just wonder how that, you know, what they're expecting offensively from Fickell. Or did Fickell go in there and say, look, I'm going to run my stuff that I ran at, you know, ran at Cincinnati. You know, we believe in spreading it out. And I don't know, but I would guess he's going to run what he ran at Cincinnati, and the Badger people are just going to have accepted it, you know, by going forward with this hire. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I thought that the three biggest names in college football, Dave Aranda, you mentioned Baylor, he's down there. He's a pretty attractive coach. But Luke Fickell is as big as it gets when it's coming down there. A coach that took a group of five team to the college football playoff and doing it in Cincinnati and having Ohio roots. I mean, that is a home run hire. And it's the same thing with Rhule for all the things that you mentioned. Not only was he down in Texas, but you mentioned out of the East Coast. And then, you know, he's got the pro ties of having been able to, you know, go in and coach in there. Even though he didn't have success, that doesn't matter. You know, he went to the pros and they gave him a gigantic check to go over there. So he's got that experience. Two great hires. They get the pick of the litter. Both of those. I'm sure they're doing handsprings in Lincoln and in Madison. They're going to be trouble. And after next year, I think they're doing away with the division. So, you know, it's talking about, well, the Big Ten West. I don't think they're going to have a Big Ten West anymore. We're going to be talking about just overall in the Big Ten. So it just got tougher in the conference. But if you're a Michigan fan, you know, I sit around like everybody else in the offseason and do shows where I rank the Big Ten coaches. And I had Pat Fitzgerald and I had Ryan Day in front of Jim Harbaugh for the last couple of years. If I'm just doing a revised coaching pecking order in the Big Ten right now, Jim Harbaugh is number one. So all those guys are looking up to Jim Harbaugh, regardless of who they brought in. And so if you're a Michigan fan, you feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You know, he's getting it. We're getting it done. We're getting it down. We're out coaching people. We're not at the top of the recruiting list year in, year out, but we're there. And we're obviously out programming people. It's the way it's you got to up program them in all ways. Who's got a better strength coach? Who's got better trainers? And who's doing all the little things? You know, and it's a lot more than just recruiting. So we're out programming people, and that starts with the guy in charge.
Well, yeah. Well, Scar, you just mentioned two things: Ben Herbert, probably not a better strength and conditioning coach in the country than Herbert. He's done a great job, so Michigan's got a great one there. And when it comes down to recruiting in NLI, there's nothing better that you can do to get you know, Michigan up to speed and everything than going out and winning it all. And, you know, here they are, and they're on their way. You know, Santa knows who's been naughty. He knows who's nice. He knows when who's sleeping out there. And he also knows in that big, gigantic sack what he's bringing to Ann Arbor. And, you know, Jim Harbaugh around in there, whatever he wants with Jim Harbaugh, whatever he wants with the name, image, and likeness, whatever he wants when it comes down to the players and all the benefits that they are allowed to get legally, they should get it all. And so, you know, I would say, I know people love recruiting. I think this is going to be a great time. We already have seen it since Saturday with a couple guys that Michigan's hauled in. I think these next couple weeks when it comes to recruiting are going to be great for Michigan. And I think there's a big up arrow when it comes to recruiting, when it comes to the Maize and Blue. So it's all good news right now for the Maize and Blue.
Winning matters, man. I know it matters as a recruit, you know, the great education and 100,000 and all that, but yeah, the winning matter. You want to put a ring on your finger.
You got that right. What is it? Beyonce. You put a ring on it. Let's go.
That's right.
She wasn't talking about a Big Ten championship ring or a national championship ring, but it still works. All right, Scar, you were talking about a parable earlier. I don't know where this is going here.
I'm an old history guy, and I just, you know, Alexander the Great and his dad or uncle, Philip of Macedonia, I'm not quite sure who gets credit for it, but lions led by lambs, or lambs led by lions? Who would you rather face? And they talked about it from a military standpoint. And Alexander the Great said that he would rather face lions led by lambs than lambs led by lions. He'd rather face, you know, the inferior leader with the great soldiers. And I just thought about that watching the Buckeyes, that I think they've got some lions with lambs leading them at times. And the Wolverines, we got lions leading lions. I just wanted to throw it out there, give you a little history quote. And I think it applies so much in sports. And I remember talking to my coaches all the time about it and teaching my players about that quote, that we thought we were lions leading lions too, as a program that I was involved with. So that's what I think Michigan is right now. Lions leading lions. Columbus has got lambs leading lions.
Well, let everybody know about your pick this week, because you have been sinking your teeth in like a lion when it comes down to making these selections, as you just gave us even a bonus pick last week. It wasn't enough just to be, you know, running out there being 12-2 on the year. Now you've cranked it up to like 14-2 on the year. It's an incredible run. Like, I'm surprised your phone isn't ringing from all these gambling sites saying we want Scartelli front and center to be our guy to make these selections. But we got you right here on the Maize and Blue Review. And now we are ready for your pick of the week.
Danny, I'm looking at some of these bowl games, and I watch USC, and I like that quarterback is something. I think 2.5, USC -2.5 against Utah. Utah played them real tough. You know, you're going to play USC. You got to score some points. Utah can do that. I would take USC -2.5. That's my pick. I don't know what the point, what they're going to expect Michigan to score, but I think Michigan will score at least 31. Maybe you can look at a bet there. I don't know what the over-under is at this point Monday for how many points Michigan scores, but I think we're going to score points against Purdue. They might look and say, well, Corum might not play, but I still think we're going to put points on that Purdue defense. But USC is my pick, -2.5.
You know, the only thing, and I'll take any pick that you've got. I'm just going to say that I think that, you know, I watched USC and Utah play the first time around, and there's no doubt, and I hate saying this because people get, you know, so warped and they're so into this. And, you know, here I am getting right into talking about officiating. But because the Trojans are heading to the Big Ten, we saw it earlier this year. It was at Texas and TCU, where there was like 13 penalties called on Texas and none on TCU, something like that. It might have been Texas Tech that they were playing. But against Texas, but it was a huge disparity, and people are like, well, you know, they're ready to, you know, send them out of the conference, and they're not all happy to do it.
Yeah,
I'm a worried about that spot. And the Utah game, there was a spot where, you're like, you can, if you watch the NFL, you can't really hit the quarterback. You can kind of touch him a little bit and push him down. In college football, you pretty much smash the quarterback. But in the in that Utah game, USC, I mean, they get a huge stop on a third down or in early in that game, and the guy barely, like, he kind of just pushes him, like, even in the NFL, I don't know if that had been called. And here's the flag was coming. I was like, whoa, that seemed like such a hey, get the hell out of the Pac-12 and enjoy yourself in the Big Ten. I'd be a little bit worried about that, but you know, that's just my thought on the game. And again, when you have an incredible record like you and the way that you're selecting it, you know, who am I to tell you that the refs are going to be involved in this game? And over and under in the Michigan game is 51.5.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I'm looking at how many points Michigan will. Sometimes you can get a bet on just one team scoring points.
Oh, I got you.
You got it. So that's kind of what I don't know what that is right now.
Let's see if I can get you that here. I got a same day game parlay that I can put at Michigan total points. I can go. How many points did you say, Scar?
I think they'll score at least 31.
Well, you can get Michigan over 30.5. They're -180, so they think that they're going to score a lot too. Until you get to the even money, 34.5, you're +100.
So, oh, okay. So that's I still think that's good. That's right there at the border. I really was liking 31. I don't know. I think we're going to score points. So, but you know, that USC game is now at a neutral site. So, you know, it's tough to beat someone twice, but now really coaching is a big thing, playing somebody twice, you know, the adjustments, the changes and you know, but neutral site USC.
All right. I got you down. I'm over here building a same game parlay while I'm listening to you talk. Maybe I better concentrate on what you're saying. We've got coming up right now the Scar of the Telestrator. That is where you look at the game on Saturday and you walk us through what's going on. And, you know, we have a lot of fun with you doing it. And you tell me when you are ready to go. You look like you're ready, Scar.
Yeah, so. Ready to go here. D, you got me up there? You got the...
You are looking live at Columbus, and we are right here in the first series of the game.
This is their first drive, and like I say, I'm always looking at the line of scrimmage just to get a feel for things. You know, I know this offensive line is just a bunch of 6 foot six, 6 foot seven, 320-pound, 4- and 5-star, big athletic, big dudes. But I always want to watch the interior play right away, and you know, yeah, they get some they. They, you know, this is 3rd and 1, but look what Mozzie's doing. And I'm not so much looking at the play and everything, but I'm looking at Mozzie stuffing his dude. I'm looking at Jenkins taking on a double team. You know, really, look, you see how we're done. You know, there's no movement there. That's a good sign. Those are things I look at early in a game. You know, they pick up the first down, but I'm just telling you some of the stuff I look at to see. My thoughts about winning the line of scrimmage. So that was that's just the point. Not a great start, tough on Junior, but we get him on the ground. I want to look at this play. They run the football here. They put a guy in motion fast. They put a receiver in motion. They get him the ball. But so look, I mean, I'm just look. We haven't. I don't know if we've seen this, but this is a defense that really puts. Look at our linebacker here, Denny. Look at all the gaps. There's a gap here. You got two blockers. So there's a potential gap here. And now, you know, it's just really tough on the linebacker. And people are going to look at the linebacker. Why ain't he make, you know, and I think you got to do the best thing you can there. Sometimes your coaches put you in a – sometimes you see something, that they run something you haven't seen. But when I talk about – looking at this play, one of the things that you have to understand when you're defending Ohio State is sometimes a play like this, okay, yeah, it hit in there. But you know what? It's not a touchdown. It's not a touchdown. It's a 15-yard gain. And you follow me how that isn't a terrible thing, you know, that we got him on the ground? You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it was better than taking it the distance. It didn't make you feel good if you were watching it. It looked like guys were whiffing all over the place, a little Ole defense. But, you know, they were able to stop it from going all the way to the house. So a little small victory there. All right.
Here we go. Now, they drive it down. But this is, again, what I was really – okay, now we're in our wheelhouse. Let's play down in here. Now you got to run the ball a little bit. It's tougher to throw it. It's first and goal. You know, and you know, this is 91, 55, 78's in there, and we just make a nice play. I really, really like Upshaw coming off, beating this guy on the inside here. You know, he's beating this tight end up at the top here on an inside go. You know, no movement here. Again, this is good stuff. I like we come off the edge here, but, you know, this is our wheelhouse, and this is where we wanted to get him, where we wanted to play football and have success here. And the weakness of what they do, you know. But remember earlier in the year, I think it was Indiana, many times teams were running these pick plays up here. This is to Johnson here. This kid's smart. He learns from his mistakes. And our coaches have really done a good job coaching this up. You know, they're going to run a little pick there, and they got to switch it just like in basketball, right? You see that. And so what I see here is smart coaches working on things, correcting mistakes, you know, correcting the mistakes, players listening to coaches, taking the coaching, pass it on to the next guy, come up, make a play. That's just, you know, that's a team that is fixing problems. You know, because Indiana killed us with that down there on their goal line. Okay, now this is the, you know, if we get them stopped here, we keep them to a field goal. You know, again, you know, Sanistrell had a really good game. And this is tough. This is tough to defend, you know, this receiver in this situation. But he should know that his safety is going to be dropping back in here and try to work for inside position on him, knowing this coverage. You know, so here's Sanistrell. He's got him. He should know that he has help here. So try to use it at times. He's got the linebacker help underneath, so he understands that. So I'm sure they're probably coaching him up to try to work inside and you know, get it more of an inside position on him. And we, you know, he could have used that safety help, but you know, the Michigan defense is overloading on Harrison down here. We're putting a lot more attention, and probably the safety is probably giving a lot more attention, knowing where Harrison is. So anyway, it's tough on Sanistrell, but he's got to, you know, we got to know where our help is. So this is our first drive. Maybe it was our, yeah, I think it was our first drive, but it's just a sign of good things to come. You know, we struggled moving the ball early on. We all saw it, but I saw this as a sign that, you know, of good things to come. We're pass protecting pretty good. They're over rushing lanes, giving JJ a lot of seams. And him and Kojo got the thing going, got the confidence going. Here's the big five-star kid. I think that Hayes, all of our offensive linemen, I think these kids, if this is their last year of playing at Michigan, especially Hayes, I think he earned himself a lot of money. He made himself a lot of money Saturday. The way he blocked, this guy's supposed to be superstar and all these five-star, whatever, non-factor, blocked. So I got five stars handled, not a chirp. 52, 65, 55, 77, 76. And now here's JJ and Bell making a play. But I thought our offensive lineman and Hayes was outstanding, pass protecting on these. Look at the feet. Look at the movement. You know, JJ's running around, making plays, telling Ronnie Bell. But, you know, it gave us confidence there. JJ's ability to run, we're protecting. And I just wanted to point that out. Good job by him and Ronnie Bell. That's from playing with each other. So here's a long field goal. Money Moody gives us a, you know, I played in this stadium, man, and it's loud and it's nasty. And, you know, they just drove it down. And the fans are, you know, they got some momentum, they got some enthusiasm. And now here, you know, Moody comes in, we take it down, we get a field goal, and that just, it just helps your mindset, man. Gives you some confidence. You know, so now you're going in and you're, so here's the Buckeyes, bread and butter. This is what they want to do. They recruit these fast, athletic kids. And, you know, athletes in space, man, this is what they do. Now we're bringing a, you know, we got a bad defense for what they're running here. You know, it's not the best because we're trying to bring pressure with a safety corner blitz here. And, you know, he's taking them on good, but, you know, these guys are tough to tackle, man. Tough to tackle. And a lot of people will look at this and it's, you know, but, you know, he's at least he's trying to take it back to the defense, right, Danny? Remember me? I'm always saying about missing it back to the defense. You know, he doesn't let him get outside of him here because he has to cut back. These two guys have a better chance to get him on the ground. And now again, he's working. You know, these little things I see that they're all being coached. You know, he's working for outside leverage too, Paige, and Junior's trying to cup him. You know, you can see these little things when you got these guys in space. Again, it's not a touchdown. It's not a touchdown. And against a lot of people, those are touchdowns. We get the face mask here. But again, it's not terrible. It's a big gain, and people are looking at it. Yeah, but it's not a touchdown. Here's 58. Hold the double team so Junior can find the gap. You know, they run the ball in here, and I just wanted to point out how I know they're coaching this thing. And they're just running a zone play here. And it's tough, man. You know, and you want Mozzie has got to hold that double team. He's got to hold this double team so that this big tackle, I think it's a guard, what is that? The guard cannot come off on Junior. And you hope that Big McGregor can take this guy and punch and try to fall inside to get a hand on and make the play. But, you know, Mozzie's fighting to keep this guy on him, but he's able to come off and get off on Junior. So I just want to point that out, how tough that is for those three guys, because they're trying to block three with three. Yeah, so that wasn't a great play, but we get him tackled. Again, you know, now here we go, second down. What's coming up next? So just want to point that play out. Box him in with the right shoulder. What do we got? We got second and three. Let's take a look. You know, we got to be better. Moore's got to break down. I like how, you know, we're taking on the block here. We're taking him on. This is a good job by Sanistro. We talked about this earlier in the year that we want to play football and meet this blocker as far up as possible, you know, to treat it like a run play. Same thing what we do with a defensive lineman now. So he's meeting him upfield. He's driving him back. He's got outside leverage. He's trying to squeeze it back in. But now, you know, here's the athletic ability of the great Ohio State receivers. Moore understands he wants to tackle him now with his right shoulder. But so does this kid understands that too. And now he's going to just put that – there's that athletic ability he gets outside of him. You know, but we get him down. It's frustrating. And, you know, Moore's done a pretty good job with this stuff most of the time. But, again, the Buckeye receivers are special. And you can't beat up your secondary for some of those games. You just got to say, okay, we got him on the ground. Here's a little stunt, gives us a chance. We got him third and five, so we got three edge players in the game here. 17, 55, and 23. Get this guy stopped. So let's take a look. Got a little stunt in there. 55 Graham coming around on a stunt. So this is a scheme that's doing some good things. And we get them, you know, now that's a, you know, the game of inches. We get them, we, you know, now we get them going for it on fourth down. So this stop here gives us a chance. The stunt, Graham, Barrett, it gives us a chance with a nice stunt. Players executing. You know, now we got a chance on fourth down. Okay, we got a chance. So this is a great job by Harrell here. And, he's going to man up, you know, this is good enough, has to throw a good ball and catch. So, you know, it's not perfect coverage, but it's enough. It's good. And this is something we haven't really done much of this year is ask an edge guy to go man-to-man on a tight end. This is something I don't remember seeing it at all really this year. We normally just drop these guys in a flat. But Harrell does a good enough job, and we get off the field here. He's covering them. You know, and he has to throw a perfect ball, and that's a big stop, fourth and two. But you got to look at the play before that, too, that gave us a chance. You know, Denny, got us off the field.
Yeah, those were huge plays, no doubt.
Yeah, you know, you get that Ohio State team stopped. I mean, we're sitting here 10-3, and we haven't done really much at all on offense, and no. They only got 10 points. And, you know, we've done some good things on defense at this point. So here's great protection. Here's third and 11. I just wanted to point out this great protection, how we block these guys. And, you know, it's an incomplete pass, but I just wanted to point out the great protection all day long that, you know, JJ really wasn't running for his life when they were rushing four guys. Third and five, empty third and five. Let's go to the next play. Okay, so here's third and five. Let's see, what did I want to talk about here?
They get off.
Live and die. Okay, they're going to live and die with the pass. Now, you know, this is a team, you know, it's third and five, Denny. Third and five. Okay? And I guarantee you Jim Harbaugh ain't coming out empty third and five. But this is a sign. If I'm coaching defense and you're the Ohio State Buckeyes and it's third and five and you are just saying, you know, we're not even going to try to run the football on you. That says something. That says something. It's good. It's good for Michigan. So this guy doesn't even want to try to throw run the football. He's got his fast guys out here, and he said, this is how we're going to live and die in this football game. So this is a good thing. And then we get him stopped. We just got to defend this little out. They don't throw a perfect pass, and now we're off the field. So I like seeing that kind of stuff. That's what you think you got to do to beat Michigan is, throw, third and five, you're going to come out empty. Okay, maybe JJ and Coach. I think this might have been JJ's best play. I know there's a lot of things he did, but, this is pressure. This is athletic ability, and this probably was Kojo's best play. This is athletic ability, and they're bringing, they're going to end up dropping him, but they're showing seven-man pressure. They end up bringing six, so this guy's unblocked. But this is just a great play by two guys. And, the protection was – it is what it is. We just can't block it. So this guy comes totally unblocked. And JJ now this guy, again, same things we talk about. He knows he's got backer dropping here. But this guy should be a left shoulder tackle. Should be a left shoulder tackle, and this linebacker would make the play. But Kojo knows it. Bam, he gets outside. Now he's got to outrun this linebacker. And I got to find out who this guy is, Denny, because I see this dude running up and down the sideline every time we got a guy running. I don't know who he is. I got to find out what that guy's name is. But he's fast. I seen him on some of Donovan's runs. They need to put a helmet on that dude. But anyway, this is a huge play. Great play by Kojo. This is all him. You can't see his speed, but that dude can run, man, that coach right there. And this is now we're tied up, man. New life, that whole sideline now. Confidence, man. We're in the Buckeye den, and now we are a different team. The score is tied. We're fired up. All right, here we go. Tie game, 55 protect linebacker, 58 punch and restrict. So let's see here. They get a little run in here. And I just want to point out, take a look at some things. This is just a basic zone play. And I'm going to show you what happens here. We're trying to keep these linebackers free, Denny. A lot of what we do, we got to try to keep our linebackers free so they can flow. Now, this big lineman, Graham's got to do a little better job of getting his hands on this guy so he can't get this free release on Barrett. And he's trying to, he's trying to do it, but this kid is pretty good. He gets off. And now Barrett has to make a decision. Do I go up and try to beat this block upfield or do I try to come underneath it? He tries to go underneath it, and that ends up, he's out of his gap now. Sometimes those little quick decisions these linebackers have to make. I'm watching Mozzie here. Mozzie's trying to punch and squeeze this guy back. And the tackle's blocking down and the guard's going to pull up on Junior. And Junior's got to get in that. Junior's not bad there. I'm sure the coaches are probably saying, except they're seeing it the same way I'm seeing it. Is that, Mozzie's got to punch this guy, get him driven back here so this guard can't get through that hole as easy. You want Junior meeting that thing here. You want Graham punching into this guard, trying to protect our linebacker. And Barrett has got to try to beat this kid. And they give him the ability to go underneath at times, but you got to make the play. So I call this rolling the dice. But this is a hell of a tackle by Moore. He's going to come up. And again, he's going to make the tackle here. And again, it's not a touchdown. He takes on a block and he gets the guy on the ground. So all those little things that all those individual players were a part of, they're a factor in stopping a play like that. This play here, it just shows you the reason for all the hype, man. Here's Marvin Harrison and here's the Stroud. And this is why they're great players, man. Look at the pass. And look at the catch. And it's one of those plays you if you're coaching the secondary, you're like, hey, man, they got good players too. You don't yell at anybody as a coach. It's real good coverage. And he's a good player. They're a good player. Let's play the next play. The most important play is the next one. So let's see what we got here. Doesn't want to run. Easy to defend. Again, this is kid doesn't want to run. It's third and 11, Danny. It's third and 11. And it's a red zone stop. So we got one back. You know, he could have ran up. Look at this. You know, if this is Michigan, if this is JJ, and these guys are kind of covered, if he steps up in the pocket and picks up 7-8 yards, JJ might have picked up 7-8 yards. Now we're going for it on fourth down or kicking an easier field goal. But, you know, this kid doesn't want to run. That's why it makes it easier to defend this kid than Michigan's guy. So, he throws it, incomplete pass. That's why I like our guy better. Our guy, I like our philosophy. What do you think about that, Denny?
Well, it was just 5 years ago that, I mean, if you were talking about the pros, you know, you wanted guys that were more with the ability to throw the ball. But in the last 5 years, you have seen it, them take it from the college level into the pros, where it's so much more of an advantage when you have somebody that's multidimensional rather than somebody that's just sitting here in the pocket. I mean, like Peyton Manning, if you had Peyton Manning or Jalen Hurts, there'd be a lot of teams be like, yeah, give me Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, no, it's changing now. People want the athletic quarterback. So let's take a look. Score is 10-13. We're down to 5:36. First down and 10 on our 25-yard line. First and 10. We don't normally throw bombs on first and 10 on our 25-yard line. But, you know, this is a Buckeye. It's a mental breakdown, poor technique. We protect well, throw and catch. They're in man, and I think we get them a little screwed up in their techniques here, this motion, and get a double move, and just wide open. That's coaching though on their end. This kid is beat by a simple move. Somehow he's confused. Somehow there's confusion, and maybe this motion created problems for them. But it's protected. It's a deep pass. And the Buckeyes are not covering as well as they should. We got a great player, a great receiver that got some separation. And we're fired up now. We're winning. We're winning down there.
Well, and let's the one thing. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You want to look at it again?
Well, I'm just going to say, like, the 69-yard one was great. You know, JJ was backing up. And, you know, it was almost like he was bailing out of the pocket. He had the arm strength to throw it over there. But it was really – you know, 5-10 yards off the line of scrimmage, the thing that everybody had been talking about all year long, and they had both pressed. The wide receivers were pressing. JJ was pressing. Just being able to throw the ball down the middle in the middle of the field to take the top off the defense. So being able to do that and execute that right there, that is something that they was the biggest worry, and you could tell that the team had pressed up to that point right there. So that would be a big relief on the sideline in a lot of ways, being able to connect on that. Not only being able to take the lead, but your confidence, everything. I can just imagine what it was able to do for number nine.
Yeah, it was great by the Wolverines, and it was not defended as well as other people have defended our deep pass too. Let's move on to the next safety blitz. So far to go. I don't like this so much. If you're going to bring a safety, you know, it's you don't want to show it too early, but God, I don't like having it timed up where he's closer to the line of scrimmage when the ball is snapped. So this is a safety blitz. I think it's too far. I don't think it's poorly timed. We end up in zero coverage, and this is, you know, no help. This is tough on number 22 out here. The Buckeyes pass game again. This is no joke. So I think this is a combination of they're real damn pretty darn good, and I don't like our scheme so much. If we're going to, you know, he could have been unblocked. The safety could have been unblocked and still not come close to getting there. So I don't like the timing of this. I blame coaches I don't know, man. If that's how they coach it, I didn't as a coach. I think it's just the ball snapped. He's 8 yards deep. You know what I mean, Denny? And now you got this guy out there against this first round draft pick by himself. So it's tough. The coverage is you know, it's of course we want something better, but this kid's good, man. And if you're gonna if you got to remember these guys, they got good players. You got to find ways to help guys when they have good players. So
those guys are both top picks, top 10 picks in the NFL that made that play.
Yeah.
Right.
So you know, I don't like our scheme there. I just if we're gonna run it, let the guy get to the line of scrimmage when the ball snapped. We got to block linebacker, tighter splits, cheat tight end. No, you know, we're not getting any movement, man. This is third and one. And they're, you know, this was kind of like, but you know, they're playing, they got nine up, man. You know, it's almost like a goal line situation. And I think they end up paying for this stuff later, but you know, they got a lot of bodies up there. We don't block this linebacker. I don't know how we're, you know, if I'm coaching this, I would have this guy, you know, he's thinking here, I'm looking to cut this gap off more for, with our tight end here, but they've got him. You know, we don't block that linebacker, Denny. The linebacker makes the play. That we get no movement. We get no movement here on these three dudes, and then we don't block this kid. We got to cut him off. Somehow we got to find a way to cut off this gap. We should cut this kid with this tight end and seal that gap. We just don't seal that inside gap. That linebacker gets there. So not good. We've been better at that in most cases throughout the year. Big stop. Can't coach height. This is big 17. Here we go, third and four. You know, and you get off the field against this team. Oh, this was I like the scheme here, too. This was, these are smart coaches. We knew what we like, what we like in this situation, with the Buckeyes like in this situation. And so we're gonna drop this big 6'6" kid to give our coverage a little more help. And so this is a nice scheme by our coaches. And he can't. I think their quarterback sees it. He can't throw it where he wants. So good play by the player. Good play by the coaches.
McGregor did that a couple times in that game.
Yeah, you know, Denny, we had a series there where we had like. This is end of the half. We had like two flags in a row. You remember that?
Yeah, well, where they called a timeout.
Yeah. The evil empire, the Buckeyes. We're taking them down. You want to see that guy again?
Yeah.
Let's get back to
it. I was in the twilight zone a little bit of watching that game with a couple seconds to go before the half, because it looked like Michigan had – was on in Ohio State's territory, and JJ had run the ball, and then they didn't. I didn't hear the whistle. The announcers had no idea what was going on, and then they're over there. Why did Michigan call a timeout? You know, why didn't Michigan run up and clock the ball? Next thing you know, they're way back, and you're like, what the hell is going on? And then they finally figured it out. I'm like, okay, but there was like,
yeah,
I don't know, at least 3-4 minutes.
Here we go, second half. We're getting into the second half now. JJ keep threat. I think you know, when they know that stuff is there. They got seven in the box. They know that stuff is there. I think it helped to get our run game going. You know, because you see the people honoring. You see the honoring. You know, this guy's just a little looser than normal because, you know, they know we have that, and it just gets it going a little bit. First down. You know, this helps that. That helps the pass game, you know, so it all plays together with what a defense has to deal with. Here we go, run game. Now the run game gets JJ loose. So we just ran the ball in here. Here's second and 10. Let's see what we got coming now. Now, so this guy is trying to read this thing. You know, the way I was coached on this, try to keep your legs parallel to the line of scrimmage and try to squeeze on that, read the mesh point. He just goes too far. He goes too far, and JJ makes him pay. You know, this is a great read. This is a great read by JJ, knowing to pull that thing out. And we pick up yards. That's our probably our best run play at that point, right? In yep. The game. You know, if JJ's running around in the pocket, and then here's the. Okay, so here we go. It's first and 10. Protection, athletic QB, throw and catch. So we get the great protection. We got an athletic QB. Okay, we got a confused, overwhelmed defense. In my opinion, they're a little confused. He's doing a lot of stuff. We outsmarted them. Our defensive players outsmarted these guys. We didn't make the mental mistakes they did. Here's the run game. Get the pass game going. It's first and 10, and Coach Moore is going to light it up. The run game, it looks like these guys are like, why are they together? But it's designed to create some confusion. And I think it does create confusion. So now he's wide open because these guys they were confused. So you got to give coaches for a credit of a lot of this stuff. Okay. They're a little confused. We got great protection. We got a quarterback that is athletic. He steps up in the pocket. We got some things going on here. That's Michigan, man. Good catch, good throw. And now things are cooking.
Yeah, their confidence level is through the roof. You know, they hit that first one to Cocho downfield, and that one you couldn't have thrown. Doesn't matter who the quarterback, anybody in the world, you couldn't have made a better throw than that. Great catch, too.
Yep.
Now Michigan.
This is a good job by Junior, and he's reading the potential of this block. Now, yeah, you know, I played this position and coached it. You know, here's a threat going in motion. Now, is he going to come and kick you out? Is he going to try to reach you? Is he going out for a pass? And I think Junior does a good job here reading it. You know, he doesn't normally play on the line of scrimmage like that, but it's one of many things they ask a linebacker to do playing for Michigan. So he reads it. It's a run play. And Sanistrol knows he has linebacker help. So he does a good job working left shoulder here, like we always talk about, right? Come up here now, left shoulder. Keep the ball back inside to the defense. He's got Junior who did a good job reading that block. So now we get him tackled, and now we get him punting the football. Good job by Junior. Good job by Sanistrol. We get a stop.
Yeah, that was nice.
Here we go. We're moving the ball a little bit. We're back on defense. Can't block 94. They got to hold him. This is a big play. First and 10. It's a pass play. They got to hold Jenkins. Big play in this drive. Just wanted to point it out.
Good call by the officials. There's no doubt
that. We better call it. You know, I said this, Denny, I said this in the beginning of the year. Remember I said Jenkins, we might not get the pass rush from our edge players, but Jenkins is going to give us more pass rush than we had last year. And he did all year long. He gave us pass rush from that position that we really didn't get last year from that position. You know, nothing against the other guys, but now they're bringing this thing back, you know. So here we are, a little confused. It's third and 19. This was one of the only times we're not really lined up right. You know, they're at the line of scrimmage, they're set, and we're running around. So this is on the coaches. You know, we end up getting a stop here, which that big penalty helped with. And but anyway, we're not lined up right, and it's just not a good thing by Michigan. So
they should have thrown the ball beyond sticks there.
This is, you know, Denny, sometimes in football, I just wanted to point this out. You know, here we're up 24-20. You know, we've all had the football gods favored Michigan. I mean, here's this ball bouncing around. How many times have we seen it stop at the 2-yard line, you know? Maybe old Coach Bo was and Coach Mo were saying, you know, get that ball in the end zone.
Ohio State had a penalty on that one, so even if it would have went on the one, that would have made them kick it again. And as it was, they ended up tacking on five there. There was a lot of hidden yardage in the Buckeyes kicking game, yep. And also some undisciplined where that was where they were drawing some unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. So, you know, they, in addition to the coaching and playing tentative, you know, they committed a lot of bad penalties in this game.
You know, Denny, you never coached football, I don't think. Maybe where would you run the football here?
Let me tell you, right off
here,
the,
here,
right over
here.
The left side. Right over the left side.
Maybe right here, right?
That's right.
Yeah. You know, and that's why I point this out. I think this is a poor adjustment.
Keegan and Hayes, I'd run it over them all day long.
But I would run it over there because of the line of what they got here. You know, they got a guy in the A gap, they got a guy on the edge, and then they got a linebacker here defending the C gap and the B gap. So anyway, our coaches see it. It's smart coaching. I think it's a poor adjustment by them. You know, maybe they're going to back to run game, JJ threat, conflict. You know, we get back to the run game, and there's the – again, here's the JJ threat off of that action. Look at these linebackers. Look at these three guys. They're worried about this. And now we rip them in there. We get the run game going. It's a poor adjustment by them, and we got a lot of things going on. You know, we got adjustment advantages, and we got scheme advantages, and we got player advantages. So that's smart coaching, using your players. Good stuff. Let's see here. Here's short yardage, third and one. Okay, let me just say this. We talked about this. You recruit athletes. Been working on this for a while. You know, again, they've probably seen this kid throw it as in when they recruited him in high school. But this formation here, we've got looks like maybe that's an extra offensive lineman. Maybe it's five off. You know, we got an offensive lineman right here. Or is that Bredesen? Anyway, we got a lot of big guys in here. And this is all run for Michigan. Now, Coach Mo always used to say, I remember him, you know, I never forgot it as a coach, but he always used to say, you don't play a goal line defense on the 40-yard line. He always talked about that. You know, it's not the goal line. It's called goal line for a reason. And, you know, we got the guts to make this call. We worked on it. We protect it. You know, if it was thrown out there wider, it would have been a touchdown. But, you know, they got nothing there. They have no defense there. Let's take it from the top. You know, it's a gutsy call. And everything in here says Michigan run, third and one. Everything says run.
Yeah.
So it's a gutsy call. It was, you know, I'm okay with those calls when I watch Michigan or my coaches want to put that stuff in if I was coaching, but we better work on that darn thing. All right, here's this number 44.
That play call, and it works, so great job and everything, is that you're putting somebody that hasn't been there all year long, you're putting them into a spot. They had it called for Corum, who's 5'8". I can't believe that he'd have been jumping over there. At least Mulling is 6'2", and they said that he was executing it, but most of the time, those guys throwing it, you know, you're asking for a turnover there. It worked out for them. I'm just really surprised that they went to it. Obviously, it works. So everybody's thinking that it's great, but that is not something that I'm in favor of anything with that play. But great job.
Yeah, I'm in favor of that stuff if we've worked on it many, many times in practice.
They didn't work on it many, many times in practice because they just put Mullings in there this week because of the injuries.
Yeah. Okay. So So that's my deal on it. But anyway, I want to point this out because here's Superman here, and I think he found his kryptonite. It's Michigan. That's his kryptonite. We put 44 on his back here.
Wow.
Okay. That's our big tight end. I think that's Big Joel.
Yeah, well, that guy's a first-round pick, too, so that was a hell of a play.
Yeah, we rip it in there, get our first down, and put Superman on his back. There you go, big fella.
Wow.
I just want to point that out. It's a great drive here. Now we're going to change direction. I said this again, Scar, JJ's legs will be the difference. We're up four. Runs around, athletic ability. You know, Ronnie Bell could have made that play if he doesn't get clubbed. So this is a good job by, you know, look at Hayes. Danny, look at Hayes here. You know, I got to point this out. He's blocking Superman. Okay, he's blocking Superman here. And he takes an inside go on him. And he blocks him. And we get outside the defense, and now we get that. Bad things happen when the quarterback gets outside the defense. So that's a great job.
What if you're a Ohio State fan You say, hey, Ronnie Bell was pushing a little bit there. Hand fighting.
He would have made the play, man. The guy hit him. That's an easy call. I thought this was a great block by 55, 77, 76. Here we go, third and goal. And I thought we'd see more of this. Seven gets width to influence. This was a well-designed play. This is the JJ quarterback power. We ran this against Ohio State last year. This is the Lamar package. I said we're going to see more of it with as we get into the Buckeye game. This is a well-designed play. There's little things going on here, Denny. This is power, quarterback power. Hang on, let me point out some things. All right. Donovan Edwards, and they coach it like this. He's getting width. So these guys, they don't know where he's going to run the football quite yet. So this linebacker, this is key for him, that he starts to get some width because this linebacker isn't firing inside here. So, but we block down with our tight end, and we're going to kick out. We're having Hayes kick out this defensive end, and we're going to have Keegan lead up in through there. Okay. And JJ doesn't even wait for the block. He could have just waited behind Keegan, but he just says the hell with it, and he just runs right beyond him and gets in the end zone. So that was a courageous thing by him to say, okay, I'm going to take a hit where he could have waited for his, but that linebacker – influenced by that width of the of our coaches being smart enough to release Donovan, kept him from firing in there quicker. So the little things like that matter. But that's a great effort by JJ, and now we got a lead and we got things going big time, man. That was a good call, and glad that Lamar package was in. Weiss may have brought some of that stuff from Baltimore with him. Get the hand up, big fella. Here we go, third and three. Let's get off the field. Here's McGregor again, big kid. Him and Morris, they knocked down more passes this year. Those guys are bold. That's why you recruit height, man. So that was a big play. They want to throw. Buckeyes want to throw. So now we're off the field, man. Let's see where we're at here. Better technique, zero need safety help. They get a big pass play here. We're not getting safety help. Let's see how this plays out. So he again, this is they make a great throw. This is again, we're playing in space. So he's got to know that he has safety. This safety is going to be a half player. So he's got to know he has safety help. But again, I'm not sure who's what receiver. If our safeties are always thinking that they got to find Harrison and overplay on Harrison, but I thought our safety was too wide on this. He's not giving help in here, and we don't get the help for Sanistro like we would have liked. Reads the BS block. This is a legendary play. Sanistro will be remembered for a lot of great plays, but no more than this one. This is something they'll talk about 20 years from now. He reads the BS block from the tight end. He weaves his raid through all the traffic, and then he makes a great play. So you got to make plays, man. Zero is our hero. How about that one, Denny?
I like that, and you're right. He does knocks this one out even after there's this
He's reading that little tight end BS block. I mean, God, what a play, man. He timed it up perfect. He's looking at the kid going up. Hands are going up. But he's reading this thing. He sees this little half block, and then he gets through all the traffic and gains ground, and what a play. Huge play. That's a four-point play. Four-point play.
I'm not sure if he was looking at the ball coming in there, or if he was able to just see it coming in, then looking at the man. Great job being able to.
Yeah, the way they coach it, he's not so much looking at the ball at that point. I think he's looking at the receiver's hands going up.
And he looked like he might have both. That was the amazing part. It looked like he had his head there a little bit where he could see in his peripheral vision. I don't know. That looked like a little bit of that.
All right, here we go. We're up. We're up 8 here. 7 is untouched. And I talked about this, how we got to, you know, one of the keys for our victory last week, I said, we got to block the stunts. And we just do a good job of blocking this thing. Some of the little movement in here. Let's take a look. Our center was outstanding on this play, our guard. And Denny, one of the big plays in this deal here. Let's go. Let's run this thing. So, all right. Try to get 2-for-1 weakness of man. Danny, I played on a state championship team in high school, and we ran man coverage every single down. And as the years went on, people, because we had a real great player playing safety. We always had a guy that could run and tackle playing safety. And people started doing this, and my high school coach told me why he started to put in zone, because people started to have their receiver, who's covered by a corner, coming out and block the free safety. So now they get 2-for-1. You got 2 defenders occupied dealing with 1 offensive player. So this is kind of a weakness of this defense. So it's the perfect defense for this play, because we hit it in there. We block it. Our line blocks it. Let's take a look. So we're going to get 2-for-1, just enough. The safety has to loosen a little bit, and now we're off and running. He outruns them. But if that's safety, and I think this he's honoring this just for a second, but we'll get another angle of the blocking up front, and then that's what you recruit. You can't coach speed. You know, he got the bad hand, but the left hand is good and the legs are good. I guess we'll take another look at Yeah, look, I wanted to look. This is just great blocking up here. So they're stunning. They're slanting this guy away. The nose guard he's slanting away. So Ulu has to read that. The line has to read that. So he's stepping. He sees him slant away. Keegan picks him up. Ulu now has to be athletic enough to read this and feel this and get up on that linebacker. And he gets up on him. So let's see what Keegan just has a straight he's just coming right out on his guy. And that's just simply blocked. It's blocked. And they got nothing there. It's an overcommitted, you know, it's a simple zone play that we put in, probably one of the first plays we put in as a Wolverine, and we rip it for 80 yards. Here's Upshaw. You know, I talked about this. I used to throw the ball to all my players on defense. We used to throw the ball to them in drills, different drills. And this is why you recruit athletes, you know, and because you never know, you know, if you're going to drop these guys in coverage. We just had Harrell make a stop on a throw on the ball. He was covering a guy. You know, they might be in a position to catch a football. So you recruit athletes and you throw the ball to them in practice. And some of this stuff isn't by accident then. So he's off and he's dropping in coverage. He sees the quarterback step up. He doesn't know what's going on. All he knows is he sees a football being thrown at him, you know, being deflected. So this is a great play by him, athletic play. But, you know, we're getting a little pressure by, I think it's young Benny down here. Oh, right here. This is Benny.
Yeah.
Benny's here. He's rushing upside, and now he falls back inside, and he just, you know, just makes him throw the ball. All those little things matter. Here we are, man, Michigan ball.
Eric Moore in there too. Yeah, and Upshaw, they needed him. You know, Mike Morris, I know he played just a few snaps in this game at the beginning, but, you know, if you just said he was going to be out most of the game, that would probably really worry you. Upshaw stepped up big time.
Oh, yeah, we have a lot of depth at that position. Here's the second run.
Yeah.
So here's the second run now. Let's take a close look at this run. Same play, basically the same play. Zinner and Ulu, again, awesome block. Okay, we block, and the linebacker's lost. You know, we've had trouble with our linebackers at times reading some of this stuff. But we just get it blocked. And the other view will give it, you'll take a better, closer look at it, but it's blocked, and Donovan is untouched. Untouched. Gone. Now it's about speed, and they're overcommitting at this point. You know, well, it's late in the game. They got to try to get off the field, so they're going to overcommit. But this is what they were doing many times against our pass game. So let's get this going.
But Donovan Edwards, Scar, when he was at West Bloomfield, I watched a few different highlight packages from him. And they would turn around and hand him the ball off. And if he got through the first line of defense, the defensive line, he would just take off. And he had so many runs of like 60, 70, 80 yards. You watch that and you're thinking, is he really going to be able to do this in college? I mean, it looks so easy for him. And, you know, he's a great player. So you're like, you know, I don't know how much I'm going to be able to take off of this high school film, but this looked exactly like when he was in high school. He would just get a little daylight and boom, he would be gone. This is exactly how he looked in high school.
Yeah, here's it. I mean, they got double A gap, so we're going to come here, and these two guys are going to try to go here. And we get and Ulu comes off, and they block this thing. Him and Keegan have been doing this in their sleep, double, and he's going to try to come off. And the linebacker, I don't know what gap he's going in. He's firing this gap. So he's not going in the right gap because, you know, this play should have been – it should have been stopped. But Keegan comes off of it, and they got the linebacker problems. And Ulu stays on his guy just enough. And Donovan makes a miss. But Ulu just gets enough of this kid, and he and Donovan beats that one-arm tackle, and he's gone. Again, another overcommitted defense. And now we're really rolling. So let's end this. Page, much improved player. That kid's gotten better. He's real good in coverage, good tackler. He's done a lot of good things. He's gotten better as a player. So tip ball, we work on that. Overthrown. Great deal. I got one more on here. Coach Harbaugh happy. Take a knee. Walking off the field. What's Coach Harbaugh thinking? Who are you going to hang half a 100 on?
Is he shaking
Remember
his
that
hand?
Quote?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he gives him a little handshake, and that's it.
It's over.
Who are you going to hang half a 100 on, Coach? It's a great day to be a Wolverine.
Watch this. You watch this particular broadcast more than one time, just like you watch that game. Yeah, you know, I didn't see that Huntingford pancake of 44 JT. That's amazing. There's a lot of guys. Although with Timmy, I was looking at some of the Pro Football Focus grades. He had, I think, 55 made himself a lot of money. A lot of guys made a lot of money in this game when they're talking about pro prospects and everything else. None more than 55. A Luskin Olatimi, who played a fabulous game at center and did a great job.
All right, Denny, I got to wrap this thing up here, man. We kind of went long today, but we will be ready to roll Saturday night after the game. Go Blue.
There he is, Jim Scarcella.